We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam's 8th canto, 15th chapter, verses 1 to 36. Verses 1 and 2. Shri Raja Vacha Pale Pada Chayam Bhume Kasma Tarira Yachta Bhutisha Kipanava Love Tata Pi Babantatam Hita Veditomi Chama Mahaka Tuhalam Hina Yageshwarasapurnasya Bandhanam Chapyana Kasana. Maharaj Pariksit inquired, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of everything. Why did he beg 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj like a poor man? And when he got the gift for which he had begged, why did he nonetheless address Bali Maharaj? I'm very much anxious to know the mystery of these contradictions. Mukam mangarati vakshanam pangalangayati vidam yakipantamam mande shi gurum jimachayam om magyana timirandasya gyanan shara shurakaya chakshumiricham yena tasmai shi gurumayama. So what do we remember from the last class? And yes, I push. Okay, the demigods, the sages, and the manus are all appointed by the Lord. Demigods and manus, yes.
They're also incarnations.
They're also incarnations. They're all incarnations of the Lord as well. The manus, the sages, the demigods. And they reestablish religious principles at the end of each Divya Yuga. Yes, Jayini Taigo.
Present
Manu's name is Shatadev. Brother and sister, Yamaraj and Yamuna, his brother and sister. Okay. And he's got some half-brothers also. Okay, so we'll continue in this chapter. Verse 3. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, when Bali Maharaj lost all his opulence and died in the fight, Shukracharya, a descendant of Bhrigu Muni, brought him back to life. Because of this, the great soul Bali Maharaj became a disciple of Shukracharya and began to serve him with great faith, offering everything he had. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni were very pleased with Bali Maharaj, who desired to conquer the kingdom of Indra. Therefore, after purifying him and properly bathing him according to regulative principles, they engaged him in performing the yajna known as Vishvajit. What does the word Vishvajit mean? Adipurush?
Conquering
the universe. So that's the sacrifice. The name of the sacrifice says it all. Conquering the universe. Vishvajit. 4. When ghee, clarified butter, was offered in the fire sacrifice, there appeared from the fire a celestial chariot covered with golden silk. There also appeared yellow horses like those of Indra and a flag marked with a lion. And who is that lion? Mahaprabhu. Who is the lion? There is a lion. The Shringadev. Who is the lion that appears in the family of Prahlad Maharaj? The Shringadev. Must be Nishinga. Actually, that was the Kuru dynasty. I think it was Whose was that? Who had the mark of a lion? Can't remember now. Someone, was it Bhishma or? Yeah, I think it was. A gilded bow, 2 quivers of infallible arrows, and a celestial armor also appeared. Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, offered Bali a garland of flowers that would never fade, and Sukracharya gave him a conch shell. When Maharaj Bali had thus performed the special ritualistic ceremony advised by the Brahmins and had received by their grace the equipment for fighting, he circumambulated the Brahmins and offered them obeisances. He also saluted Prahlad Maharaj and offered obeisances to him. Then after getting on the chariot given by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj decorated with a nice garland, put protective armor on his body, equipped himself with a bow, and took up a sword and quiver of arrows. When he sat down in the seat of the chariot, his arms decorated with golden bangles and his ears with sapphire earrings, he shone like a worshipable fire. So just imagine the Rijon says, imagine the demons nowadays and the demons in those days. They were more pious. Actually, to get his victory, he took shelter of the Brahmins and he performed a sacrifice. The demons nowadays, they wouldn't think of it. They would just do it their own on their own strength. So Bali understood success comes from the sanction of higher powers. So he accepted he needed help. And this is the difference between the demons in those ages and the demons nowadays, that they don't accept anything higher than themselves. Verse 10:11. When he assembled with his own soldiers and demon chiefs, who were equal to him in strength, opulence, and beauty, they appeared as if they would swallow the sky and burn all directions with their vision. After thus gathering the demoniac soldiers, Bali Maharaj departed for the opulent capital of Indra. Indeed, he seemed to make the entire surface of the world tremble. And so he wanted to take over the heavenly planets, have a more subtle enjoyment. And to go there, he got the mercy of the Brahmins, actually. Otherwise, you can't go there. It's not more subtle, but it's more opulent. It's more opulent than, we'll see. Verse 12. King Indra's city was full of pleasing orchards and gardens, such as the Nandana garden. Because of the weight of the flowers, leaves, and fruit, the branches of the eternally existing trees were bending down. The gardens were visited by pairs of chirping birds and singing bees. The entire atmosphere was celestial. So we have a commentary in verse 12 by Shridhar Swami. And he's condemning the pleasures of the heavenly planet. Fie on the material pleasures, Gramya Sukh. All of a sudden, Indra and other demigods had to leave this kind of a city to flee. To foster Vairagya, detachment, Shukadeva Goswami in 11 and a half verses describes Indra's city. So how would this description, now we're going to hear a very beautiful description of the heavenly planets, how would this description make you detached? After hearing this description of the heavenly planets. Yes, Savasachi. Yes, so geez, you get this beautiful place and then you have to leave. So what's the use? What's the use of getting such a beautiful place? So now we're going to hear, what is heaven like? Verse 13. Beautiful women, protected by the demigods, sported in the gardens, which had lotus ponds full of swans, cranes, chakravakas, and ducks. The city was surrounded by trenches of Ganga water, known as Akash Ganga, and by a high wall which was the color of fire. Upon this wall were parapets for fighting. So this Akash Ganga is also described in the fifth canto. That's the Ganga in the sky, the Milky Way. And so it appears part of that is in Indrapuri, surrounding his city. This Akash Ganga. Akash Ganga. Verse 15. Another Burijan points out that there's places for fighting. That means there's fear there. Fear also exists even in the heavenly planets. The demons could come at any time, so therefore they have a defense system. Verse 15. The doors were made of solid gold plates. The gates were of excellent marble. These were linked by various public roads. The entire city had been constructed by Vishwakarma. So what else did Vishwakarma create besides the heavenly planets? Yes?
The Assembly Hall of
Yudhishthira. Was that? No, that was Maya Dhanava. He was the opposite one. Vishwakarma is in heavenly planets and then Maya is down in the demoniac lower. Yes, the Yadu dynasty. Yes? Dwaraka, yeah. He created Dwaraka, the city of Dwaraka, in the sea. And what else? Lord Jagannath. He was the sculptor of Lord Jagannath. And what else did Vishwakarma create? Who? Sudharma. Sudharma, the Oh, Sudama's palace. Sudama's palace. Okay. I don't know. You heard it. Acha. Anyway, there's one more place that Vishwakarma made. Sutala. The place for Bali Maharaj. Vishwakarma made that too. So therefore, Prabhupada says it must be as opulent as Indraloka. Huh? Prajapati. Vishwakarma is a Prajapati, yes. Because his daughters married the sun god. Okay. Verse 16. The city was full of courtyards, wide roads, assembly houses, and not less than 100 million airplanes. The crossroads were made of pearl, and there were sitting places made of diamond and coral. 100 million airplanes. Yes, air traffic. And they don't need an air traffic control tower there also, even though they have 100 million airplanes. I think that's more than we have in our tiny Earth planet, right? More airplanes. Hmm? Heathrow. At base Heathrow, okay. There's 100 million airplanes. It means if there's 100 million airplanes, that means there's more than 100 million people there. It's a huge city. There's a lot of people in that city. If there are just 100, if there are 100 million airplanes. Verse 17. Everlastingly beautiful and youthful women who were dressed with clean garments glittered in the city like fires with flames. They all possessed the quality of Shama. Verse 18. The breezes blowing in the streets of the city bore the fragrance of the flowers falling from the hair of the women of the demigods. So these verses are about the women. Apsaras passed on the streets, which were covered with the white, fragrant smoke of aguru incense emanating from windows with golden filigree. Burijan comments, we have the nice smell of incense instead of nasty traffic fumes coming in this earth planet. Verse 20. This city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls, and the domes of the palaces had flags of pearl and gold. The city always resounded with the vibrations of peacocks, pigeons, and bees, and above the city flew airplanes full of beautiful women who constantly chanted auspicious songs that were very pleasing to the ear. So we heard about the sights and the smells, and now we're hearing about the sounds of heavenly planets. The sounds are peacocks, pigeons, bees, and women singing beautiful songs. The city was filled with the sounds of mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, and well-tuned string instruments all playing in concert. There was constant dancing, and the Gandharvas sang. Combined beauty of Indrapuri defeated beauty personified. So these are the sounds. Beautiful instruments are always playing in concert. People are dancing. Verse 22. No one who was sinful, envious, violent toward other living entities, cunning, falsely proud, lusty, or greedy could enter that city. The people who lived there were all devoid of these faults. 23. Bali Maharaj, who was the commander of numberless soldiers, gathered his soldiers outside this abode of Indra and attacked it from all directions. He sounded the conch shell given him by his spiritual master Shukracharya, thus creating a fearful situation for the women protected by Indra. So imagine, here everyone's having a good time, enjoying and the beautiful sounds, and all of a sudden the sound of the conch shell of Bali Maharaj comes and shatters the peaceful atmosphere. Yes? Right, no lusty or greedy people. So here, this verse 22 describes the qualities of the people who do not go, cannot go into the heavenly planets. And the answer is that these qualities are qualities of passion and ignorance, basically, and the demigods are in the mode of goodness. So, of course, behind everything is lust, but there are different modes of nature. Yes, there's different modes of nature. So the heavenly planets are in the mode of goodness. So if you're in these lower modes with these symptoms, then you cannot go to the heavenly planets. You stay in the lower planets or on earth. It's described in Bhagavad Gita. And these are different modes. But it's not the gross modes of ignorance, lust and passion and ignorance. Something is there, of course, everything is mixed. But basically they're in the mode of goodness to go to the heavenly planet. Adipurush. Yes, because they took shelter of the Brahmins who were in the mode of goodness. So by the piety of the Brahmins, they couldn't, on their own strength, they couldn't go to the heavenly planet because they were in the lower modes. Bali Maharaj, they were in the lower, they were demons. But on the strength of the Brahmins, the descendants of Bhrigu, they could go to the heavenly planets. And that's the point, yes. No, he's not from Bhrigu. Brihaspati is not from Bhrigu. Shukacharya. Bhrigu is the origin of Shukacharya, and he's the guru of the demons. Yeah. Brihaspati is who is his father? Brihaspati's father, Adipurush. There's Vashishta or one of those other people. No, they're related as because they're like great grandsons of Lord Brahma, but they're not related. Like they don't have the same father. They don't have the same father. Yeah. Shukacharya performed it. He's the guru of the demons. Angira. Angira is the father of Brihaspati. So these are different sons. Bhrigu and Angira are sons of Brahma. And their descendants are... descendant of Bhrigu is Shukacharya. And descendant of Angira is Brihaspati. Okay. So I have a verse here. Oh yeah, about going to the heavenly planets. There's a verse from 4th canto, 9th chapter, verse 10. And this is by Dhruva Maharaj. My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet or hearing about your glories from pure devotees is so unlimited, it is far beyond the stage of Brahmananda, wherein one thinks himself merged in a person of Brahman. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, what to speak of the temporary blissfulness of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separating sword of time. Although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course. So give me, now, we're talking about going to the heavenly planets. So I want to have an analogy about going to the heavenly planets. Yes. Ferris wheel. Ferris wheel goes up and it comes down. What's another analogy? Ferris wheel. If you go to an amusement, I don't know if you have this in your country, amusement parks, and they have these different rides, and one ride is a big, big wheel. You sit and you go up and you come back down like that. Big wheel. In India they have. You have also. Ferris wheel. F-E-R-R-I-S. Adipurush. Yes. 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 You're going in an airplane, our prophet says, going to the moon by the astronauts. As soon as the fuel is finished, they must come back down. They cannot stay there. So how is this compared? Okay, here's the analogy. It's like that. What is this compared to? Yes? Flower in the sky. Oh, that's another analogy. Very good. Flower in the sky, pushpa, akash, akash pushpa. So what is this all compared to? This is the analogy, but what is it similarly then? You have half the analogy is it's like a Ferris wheel. But then similarly, people do what? They perform sacrifice and then they go up and when their pious activities results are finished, they come back down. So that's the other half of the analogy. Similarly, they perform pious activities, they go up and their pious reactions are exhausted and they come back down. No. Wrong analogy. So, we've heard the description of the heavenly planets. Very, very nice description. Peace, music, dancing, enjoyment. And all of a sudden, the conch shell of Bali Maharaj is sounded and it's all finished. 24. Seeing Bali Maharaj's indefatigable endeavor in understanding his motive, King Indra, along with the other demigods, approached his spiritual master, Brihaspati, and spoke as follows. So Indra, he knew where to find the answer. He went to his guru and said, "What's happening here? Why these demons are coming?" He said, "My lord, our old enemy, Bali Maharaj, now has new enthusiasm. He has obtained such astonishing power that we think that perhaps we cannot resist his prowess. No one anywhere can counteract this military arrangement of Bali's. It now appears that Bali is trying to drink up the entire universe with his mouth, lick up the 10 directions with his tongue, and raise fire in every direction with his eyes. Indeed, he has arisen like the annihilating fire known as Samvartaka. Kindly inform me, what is the cause for Bali Maharaja's strength, endeavor, influence, and victory? How has he become so enthusiastic?" Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, "O Indra, I know the cause for your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahmana, descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, their disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power." So this is the reason why people, the demons, could actually go to the heavenly planets. They got the blessings, they got the Brahma Teja, they got empowered by the Brahmins. Brihaspati informed Indra that Bali Maharaja's prowess was not his own, this is the purport about four lines down, but that of his exalted guru, Shukracharya. So see, it was actually Shukracharya's power that propelled Bali Maharaja. And this is not the only example. There's examples in Mahabharata of somebody who was sent to heaven by some guru's prowess. I think his name was Trishanku, yeah? Trishanku. He was sent up, but then Indra was sending him back down, and then he ended up upside down. And then his guru also stopped him in the middle of the sky, and now he's there. He's where? Southern Cross. Okay, so he lives there in the sky. He's got his own heaven up in the sky, provided by his Guru Maharaj. He became a devotee. He couldn't keep it. He couldn't maintain it. Okay, very good. So, we sing in our daily prayers. Yasya Pashara Bhagavad Pashara Yasya Pashara Nara Chikotopi. By the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. The blessings, here's a very important sense. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. You hear that? The blessings are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. If he blesses you, then it's much more. Just like Prabhupada, when we were talking yesterday about Kripa Siddha, you work hard for 1 lakh of rupees, but if someone comes and say, "Here, just take, don't work hard, take this money." So that's the blessings of the spiritual master. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Guru Mukha Padmavakya Shitete Koriya Aikya Arna Koriya Mone Asha. Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. By the proper system, one can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Evam parampara pratam imam rajashayo vidu. So this is our movement. Our movement is not to go to heaven, but to get the blessings of the spiritual master and help, as we heard in the previous chapter, to help spread, to help reestablish the religious principles in this age of Kali. That is our movement, that is our desire, that is our parampara, not to go to the heavenly planets. Whereas other religions, it seems that their goal is often that of most of the people. They want to go to heaven and enjoy, and that is their idea. But our idea is to go and serve Krishna, here or there, anywhere. So in another purport, in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita 777, I think it is, Prabhupada explains that Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj says, one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of his spiritual master. This acceptance of the words is called Shauta Vakya, which indicates the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instructions without deviation. Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura remarks, the disciple must accept the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul. So this is our position also. We have to accept the instructions as our life and soul. And then we will actually have a life. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then we're going after something like the heavenly planets, like a mirage in the desert, which you will never get. Verse 29. Neither you nor your men, this is Brihaspati speaking, can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer him, for he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Tejas. As no one can stand before Yamaraj, no one can now stand before Bali Maharaj. So this is the power of the Brahmins. It's not Bali's own power. He got Brahma Tejas from Shukracharya. Therefore, waiting until the situation of your enemies is reversed, you should all leave this heavenly planet and go elsewhere where you will not be seen. So the advice of their guru is get out of town, because you cannot defeat Bali Maharaj now. He's much more powerful. He's powerful because of the benediction of Shukracharya. 31. Bali Maharaj has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given him by the Brahmins, but when he later insults the Brahmins, he will be vanquished along with his friends and assistants. So this purport, Prabhupada says, Bali Maharaj and Indra were enemies. Therefore, when Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, predicted that Bali Maharaj would be vanquished when he insulted the Brahmins by whose grace he had become so powerful, Bali Maharaj's enemies were naturally anxious to know when that opportune moment would come. To pacify King Indra, Brihaspati assured him that the time would certainly come, for Brihaspati could see that in the future Bali Maharaj would defy the orders of Shukracharya in order to pacify Lord Vishnu, Vamanadev. Of course, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one can take all risks. To please Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj risked defying the orders of his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Because of this, he would lose all his property, yet because of devotional service to the Lord, he would get more than he expected. And in the future, in the eighth manvantara, he would occupy the throne of Indra again. So now Indra is very happy that in the future he will get it back. But actually, Prabhupada says that it's good that he... normally, you shouldn't defy the orders. In the last purport we're hearing, follow the orders of spiritual master. And now he's going to do the opposite. But the purpose, you have to see the purpose behind it. And that is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, Vamanadev. So for that, you can take all risks. So in one lecture on Bhagavatam 1.3.19, the verse on Vamanadev in third chapter, first canto, one lecture, Prabhupada was talking about this, how Bali rejected his spiritual master, and because he did that, he became a Mahajan. He says, generally, you cannot do that, because the spiritual master is supposed to take responsibility whole life, for good, and we're supposed to be obedient. So if you reject your spiritual master, you become a big sinner. It's a great sin. He said, but he rejected on Shastric ground because he objected for Vishnu worship. So such a spiritual master should be rejected. So he became Mahajan. And so Prabhupada says anything favorable for advancement of Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and anything unfavorable should be rejected. So that was what we will learn from Bali Maharaj. And there is a comment by Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. Insult of the Brahmins is mentioned here only in the social sense, whereas factually, Bali's disrespect to the Brahmins was favorable to Vishnu Bhakti, and that's exactly what Prabhupada is saying. And thus became his great glory. It bestowed upon him enjoyments exceeding Swarga in the form of Sutala. It made Vishnu his doorkeeper, And in the next Manvantara, Bali will become Indra. So by surrendering to Vamanadeva, he got three wonderful benefits. He got Sutala, he got the Lord as his chokidar, his doorkeeper, and he will become Indra. It's just temporary loss. So Jiva Goswami says, transgressing the conventional guru's words by Bali, who took the side of the Lord, was not a fault. The logic is guru nasa syat. Remember that verse, guru nasa syat? Yes. 5.5.18. Still, simply according to conventional social norms, this has been called disrespect. So, but such allegiance to the cause of the demons is unsuitable for persons like Bali, who is detached. So he easily gave up this misery, socially considered to be happiness. By giving charity to the Lord, he enriched himself beyond any measure by the supreme happiness of the Lord's devotional service. And he said, alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, 5.24.24, king of heaven, although he is very learned and powerful, although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning his own good. So the Lord became his doorkeeper, completely in Bali's control, and as a side result, he got Sutala, which exceeds the heavenly planets, and in the next Manvantara, he will become Indra. So he is not the loser. Shukadeva Goswami continued, verse 32. The demigods, being thus advised by Brihaspati for their benefit, immediately accepted his words, assuming forms according to their desire. They left the heavenly kingdom and scattered, without being observed by the demons. So I read in Mahabharata somewhere that Indra, he took the form of a peacock. So the peacocks and Indra are friends. And when the thunder come, when the lightning, when the dark clouds come of the rain clouds, then the peacocks are very happy and they start dancing. There is a relationship. And Indra took their form. And Yamaraj, guess what form Yamaraj took? Form of a crow. And because crow, black. And because of this, then the crows have a special benediction from Yamaraj that unless somebody kills them, they will not die. They don't die. They have a very long life, the crows.
They won't die?
No, they won't die unless somebody kills them. Yeah?
That's why
there's so many. Yes. Crows. Yes, they got a benediction from Yamaraj. And so, yes. No, people are like that. Yes. He is a devotee of Vishnu, actually. He is, yes. He taught him to worship Vishnu, and that's why when Vishnu came, he said to him, no, don't give, it's Vishnu. But then he went against his own words. Yeah, no, he's a devotee of Vishnu. Shukracharya. Yeah, they worship Vishnu, but in an official way. Officially. No, they're connected, but in an official way, not in the pure. Of course, Bali and Prahlad are the pure devotees, even in that line, you see. Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, two Mahajans are there in that line. So they worship Vishnu.
And also they are nephews.
But see, the type of guru that Shukracharya was, he worshipped Vishnu, but as a formality. Was like an official guru. Yes, you know, like you see in India, so many they worship. But it's just like, okay, when it's, you know, this, that, when it helps me, then I worship. And when it doesn't help me, like in this case, it's going to happen, that he's going to lose his maintenance, then okay, we better not worship Vishnu. Vishnu's going to take all our money and I won't have any maintenance. And then what? And you'll see the arguments of Shukracharya. Where else will they get the power? They get the power from Vishnu. They're Brahmins, they're Karmakandiya Brahmins, Karmakandis. But they have to. Without worshipping Vishnu, you won't get success in your Karmakanda.
So they're Karmakandis?
Yes, yes. Karmakandis, Smartas is another word. Smarta Brahmins, Karmakandis.
Is it Mishra?
Yes, Mishra. Yeah, he gets purified. Yeah, he has to admit When Vishnu himself asks, "No, okay, what's the problem here? You know, now what fault? What did he do wrong that you cursed? You know, that you cursed him? Okay, what's the problem? Oh yeah, okay, mantratas. Yes, if someone's chanting the holy name, then there's no fault. Yeah, in front of Vishnu, how can he? He cannot cheat. He cannot hide. But his disciple, he said, don't give, he's Vishnu. Jarmashmi. Yes, yes, he became his doorkeeper.
What's that past time?
No, this is it. He becomes his doorkeeper now. At the end, he says, I will protect you, I will go. I mean, you have to read further to see. But there are stories. Actually, I have one story, which I'll tell you next week. About, I don't know if you'll be here though.
So it's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up now. Yeah, this will be in next week's verses. It'll be coming up. And then how he actually became. There are stories in Mahabharata or Ramayana, I can't remember. I think Ramayana. Ravana came because Ravana was conquering all the planets. He came to Sutala and Lord Vamanadev kicked him far, far away, very far. So he couldn't even enter Sutala to conquer Bali Maharaj. There are different stories about how Vamanadeva acted as chokidar for Bali Maharaj.
Vamanadeva has a really powerful foot.
Yes. He can kick. He kicked a hole in the universe as well. And Ganga Devi is coming. But yeah, but in Brihadbhagavatamrita we hear a different story actually from Bali Maharaj. He says, hardly I see him. Anyway, there's a different story. But actually he's there when you need him. He's there when he needs him. When somebody comes, then he comes, then he's there to protect him. Yes. Don't worry about it, it's not a major point. You know how you get the body of a crow? According to Padma Purana, if you steal milk, or if you put water in the milk, you become. That's why we have so many crows. Yeah, Padma Purana. So one who steals milk will become a crow in his next life, or you know, means like putting water in the milk and selling it. So don't do it. Yeah.
But in Vrindavan, so many people doing this.
But Vrindavan crows are special. They will go back to Godhead.
After somebody kills them.
Okay. Let's change the subject. I tell you who kills the crows. We have a dog next door to my house, and he's enemy of the crows and the pigeons and the parrots. It's very quick. Very quick dog. Should be in the dog races. This dog is... Anyway. Vrajabihari's dog. Verse 33. When the demigods had disappeared, Bali Maharaj, son of Virochan, entered the heavenly kingdom. From there he brought the three worlds under his control. 34. The Brahmana descendants of Prigu, being very pleased with their disciple, who had conquered the entire universe, now engaged him in performing 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. Why? Why 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices? Maravindapuri.
Because that's the prerequisite.
Yeah, that's the number you need to become Indra. Purport. We have seen in the dispute between Maharaj Prithu and Indra, when Maharaj Prithu wanted to perform 100 Ashwamedha yagyas, Indra wanted to impede him, for it is because of such great sacrifices that Indra was made king of heaven. Here the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu decided, although Maharaj Bali was situated on the throne of Indra, he would not be able to stay there unless he performed such sacrifices. Therefore they advised Maharaj Bali to perform at least as many Ashwamedha yagyas as Indra. The word Ayajian indicates that all the Brahmins induced Bali Maharaj to perform such sacrifices. So he got there by their power. But to stay there, he had to become qualified as an Indra. He had to do the work of becoming Indra, which is to perform 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. And so, again, we can see the difference between the mentality of people long ago and people nowadays. They don't think, well, if I satisfy the Brahmins, then I will become, I will get power. They don't think like that. They think, yes, I will bribe somebody, I will do this, I will do that, hook or crook, and then I will become president. And so this is what the difference here we can see. Even Bali Maharaj, who was born in a demoniac family, he understood he had to get some pious credits to remain Indra. He had to increase his piety. Verse 35, when Bali Maharaj performed these sacrifices, he gained a great reputation in all directions throughout the three worlds. Thus he shone in his position like the brilliant moon in the sky. Purport. No purport. 36. Because of the favor of the Brahmins, the great soul Bali Maharaj, thinking himself very satisfied, became very opulent and prosperous and began to enjoy the kingdom. The Brahmanas are called Dvijadeva, Kshatriyas are called Naradeva. The word Deva actually refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahmanas guide human society in becoming happy by satisfying Lord Vishnu. And according to their advice, the Kshatriyas, who are called Naradeva, keep law and order so that other people, namely the Vaishyas and Shudras, may properly follow regulative principles. In this way, people are gradually elevated to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada explains in one purport 3.123 that the Dvija Devas are the sages, and they're devoted to spiritual upliftment of human society. And the demigods, they're from the moon planet and upwards, they're called Devas. And both the Dvija Devas and the Devas always establish temples of Lord Vishnu in his various forms. 3.123. Okay, so now he's enjoying. So why does he have to, why is it that he cannot stay there actually? Why can't, he's doing a good job, he's ruling the, yes. He doesn't have the piety. Of course, he's doing 100 ashrameda sacrifices. But the problem is that he's up there, and when he goes up there, then he's putting all the demons in key positions. And so we have a universe that's not very happy place, being run by demons. And that's not the way the Lord made it. He made it so that the pious people are in charge of the universe, and they're doing the management. But sometimes it happens that somebody else gets the management. And then when that happens, then the Lord comes as an incarnation. Like Hiranyakashipu, he got it. He got the management. Now Bali Maharaj got the management. But he's not supposed to be. The Indra for this Manu is Purandar. It's not Bali Maharaj. So he has to be taken out by the incarnation of the Lord. So we'll stop here. Any questions? Yes, Jaini Tiger.
To counteract and defeat.
Right. So the question is that Shukracharya has given the power to the demons. So why doesn't Brihaspati just fight with Shukracharya and outdo him in Brahma Tejas? Yes.
Was it because Indra offended him?
No, this time he didn't offend him. That was sixth canto. He didn't offend him.
It's not related.
No, it's not related. The answer is, because he saw that, actually he himself stated the reason. He said, nobody but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can counteract this. And that means the incarnation must come. It must be done by the Lord himself. And also he doesn't want to interfere with the Leela of Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva is going to come and he's going to save the day. He's going to be the hero. Brihaspati is not going to be the hero. Vamanadeva is going to come, and this is predicted that he is so powerful, only the Supreme Lord himself can counteract this power now. Because the Lord favors the Brahmins. So now these Brahmins, they got him in, and now so how can Krishna change it? How can he favor one Brahmin over the other? No, these Brahmins, no, now the Lord himself has to come and change it. Yes, yeah, see? He says, I cannot. They're there because of the Brahmins. And he doesn't go against, the Lord doesn't go against what the Brahmins do. Their words must be upheld, it's true. So Shukracharya, even the Brahmins know that. Brihaspati knew that, now, okay, Shukracharya said this, so I cannot counteract. Only the Lord himself. Universal time. Everything's happening according to universal time. Well, you can't say.
This time, this happened.
Well, you can say that. I can, as far as I know, every kalpa Krishna comes at the same time, in the day of Brahma, wow. The 28th, the 7th Manu, 28th. He comes every day at the same time. That much I know, and the rest I can't say. It's the Yuga avatars are fixed, but the others I can't say. It's there. He's a devotee. Yeah, I mean, it's not lost. Even his father was quite... Virochan was quite nice.
But I mean, they're still fighting.
Well, that's, they stay in their position. They're demons. Mm-hmm. They're kings. He's king of the demons. What do you expect? You know, that he's just doing what he has to do. Just like Vritrasura, just because he was a pure devotee doesn't mean he didn't try to fight with Indra. He also went and fought with Indra. So the demons, they fight with the demigods. That's what they do.
By nature,
they fight. But it's really funny if you read Mahabharata and these other books. And Bali Maharaj always gets digs in at Indra. You know, he always gets some digs in. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like you're not being, you know, look at you, you're so attached to the heavenly, you know, like you're not, you're so, you know, this and that. I think next week I'll bring in some of these digs. I mean, it's right in Bhagavatam, in 5th canto. Brahma, just like Indra is a fool, the Lord was at his doorstep, and instead of asking for pure devotional service, he's asking for the heavenly kingdom, as usual. Vritrasura, the same thing. You know, Vritrasura, Bali Maharaj. And they're preaching, you know, even though they're a demon family. And so the Bhagavad culture is not lost. And Bali Maharaj is quite astute and quite alert. But he wasn't surrendered yet. He wasn't, you know, he was in the mood of getting the opulence. So now Krishna has to take it away from him. He was not so surrendered. He knows the truth, you know, like there's so many devotees like that. They know, but still, they try to get position and things. So he was like that. And then Krishna took it away, and then, oh my God, then he surrendered. Yes.
Situated in room.
Very good. You have answered your own question. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, he will come and speak on behalf of Bali. Yes, yeah. He understood his heart. He understood that here, at least I got one pure devotee like me in the family. And he will speak, his wife, even Brahma will come and speak on his behalf. All of them will come and speak for Bali Maharaj. Because it's quite a humiliating position he was put into. I mean, going from one extreme, king of the universe, and then he's got nothing, and he can't fulfill his promise. And just from all to nothing, basically. Yes, his wife is advanced. She's saying, you think you can give in charity? You can give in charity to someone? You're a fool. And she's talking to the Lord, please, he's just a fool. He thinks he can give, but actually it's all yours. Anyway.
She's
considered the greatest lady in the Vidya district. Gotcha. Vindhyavali. Wife of Bali Maharaj.
She's considered what?
One of the greatest. Vindhyavali, the wife of... Okay, any other questions or comments? Adiprush. Adiprush? Which Manu got the reign of Hiranyakashipu? I think I wrote that down. Let me look in my timeline if I have it here. I think he appeared in Swayambhuva Manu. I think we made that comment also when we were teaching 7th canto, that Nishingadev appeared in the first manu, first mantra. Yeah, here is...
During
Swayambhuva Manu, yes? Yeah, Swayambhuva Manu. Banas, Sura is Banas, Bali Sanya. He got the mercy too? Yes? Where is the evidence? Yeah. Yeah, look for the evidence. Swayambhuva Manu. Mm-hmm. He's the first Manu in the day of Brahma. This day. There is no original. He's the first. It's just first. Yeah, original, if you want to say first. Yes, that's right. That's him. Swayambhuvaman, original. Okay, you find the reference. Okay, you find the reference, and you can enlighten us about that. Any other questions or comments? If not, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We stop early today.
I had a question. The fight between the demons and
Which fight? The one before? Oh, each one, anyone. This time they didn't fight.
Couldn't the demigods just like switch off the functions of the demon's bodies? So you could make them blind, you could make them able to release their hands.
Well, it appears that the powers of the demigods and the powers of the demons are practically equal because they're brothers, you know. I mean, they're born of the same father. So, they're the same size, you know, the turning of the ocean of milk. So it seems like they both have the same powers. But if the Brahmins, the Brahminical power is higher, because if you see the whole universe, then you have the sages, which are the Brahmins, and you have the demigods, which are Kshatriyas. So the demons and demigods are both Kshatriyas. So they have limited powers. But the sages' powers are higher, so if they're favored, by the Brahmins, then that supersedes the Kshatriya power, whatever.
So what it means when Surya is the demigod of sight, the deity of sight?
Oh, he has some. He has some control. Well, he's Narayan. Well, Surya is different. Vayu. Yeah, Vayu is breathing, yeah. And one time he did that when Indra struck down Hanuman, then he stopped everyone's air. He stopped all the air. They can do it, but they don't do it. Yeah, it appears that my understanding is that they're pretty equal, the demons and demigods. Because look, how could Bali Maharaj go and just take over and do all the functions of Indra and all? How could he do it if he's not on the same level? They're on the same level.
There are the prototype deities, the elemental deities, and the prototype Surya and every one of them.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
And these are changing, they're only temporarily taking the...
Yeah, there's prototypes. There's three sets of demigods. There's ones with Mahavishnu, ones with Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then the ones that are every time coming and born, like in different...
Like these
times,
changing.
Yeah, the ones who are changing every manu, they're just expansions of the other ones, but the other ones are permanent. The ones Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and the ones with Mahavishnu, they're permanent, and then they have their prototype in Vaikuntha, and you read Brihadbhagavatamrita, they have the prototype in Goloka. Yeah. It starts in Goloka, then they have expand to Vaikuntha, then they expand here also.
I never heard about prototype in that there are two prototype deities, one with Mahavishnu.
That I learned from Bhaktivedya Purnamaraj.
Makes sense.
But no, it's there. You can see it if you read scrutinizingly. Read Bhagavatam. It's there. That if you read third canto, as I studied, there's some verses where it says that okay, now he expanded and the demigods also expanded with him. Yeah. In the second canto, sixth chapter, those are the second level of demigods. See, the first level are at the beginning of creation. Just see. Again, rain. Beginning of creation, that's described in second canto, fifth chapter, I think verse 30, that there's certain demigods right in the beginning in Swarga. And then, in the sixth chapter, there's other demigods, the ones that go into the universal form. So that's the second set. And they do the sacrifice of Vishnu. That's the second set.
And that's before anything?
That's before Brahma's birth. It's that Brahma. It's a different Brahma. It's a different... They do a sacrifice and they enter the universal form. And then after that, Brahma is born. And then he creates the third set. There, the third set, and this, two are listed in third canto, 10th chapter, in the list of creations. There's like 10. One is the demigods of Swarga, one is the demigods at the end. The second, the middle one is not listed, but you can see that they're more subtle. They're on the level of the universal form. The ones on the universal form, and then there's the gross one, more the ones from Lord Brahma himself. Actually, I discussed quite extensively with Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj when I was teaching third canto. And so I got that understanding, I grasped that from him. And then when I read Bhagavatam, then I could see how it's true, how it's actually true what he says. There is evidence of the first one and the third ones in Bhagavatam. And also the middle one, if you... Pushishukta. Yes, that's the middle one, the universal form, the sacrifice. That's the middle ones. It's before Brahma's birth. And so they get the whole blue, the subtle form of the universe. And then he creates, and then the changing, the ever-changing ones are created. Yeah, because I was so puzzled when I first started that. But then after I discussed with him quite a lot, then I understood it more. And every time you read, then you see, oh yeah, there's the second set. You can see it's actually there in the verses, if you read very scrutinizingly. See, there's some demigods at the end of fifth chapter of third canto who offer prayers for empowerment. That's the first set.
Mahavishnus.
Yeah, Mahavishnus. They're offering prayer. The elements are there, remember? Everything's coming from Sarga, but they're not combining. They're not combining. So they said, please help us. So then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters, he combines the elements, he makes universal form. And then demigods enter the universal form, so that's the second. The first ones are there, and then demigods enter. Who enters the universal form? It's the second set. The universal form is created, the demigods enter. And then Lord Brahma is born from the lotus, and then he creates more demigods. More demigods are coming. The third set. This Visarga. Two sets in Sarga, then this like goes with the different creations. The creation of Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is just a universal form. And then he creates Brahma from the lotus.
What kind of living entities are there? Some Shaktis of Krishna?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, if you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says they are... They have their origin in Vaikuntha and Goloka. Even the Garuda, he's Sridham. Sridham expands as Garuda. Nanda expands as Nanda in Vaikuntha. And Drona and Tara. Drona in here.
Also those deities in the layers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Coverings.
Yeah.
Could be the second set.
Could be second set. Could be. Who knows? But it's the universal form, basically. They're the ones in the universe, and they don't change. And then there's these ones that change every manu. The ones that's in Visarga. And so anyone can become empowered to become them.
The five elements, they don't seem to be changing. Varuna, Bhumi, Agni. Well, Agni, but they're different. Vasus. I think Vasus are in the Agnes. Vasus.
I don't know. I don't know. Varuna. It doesn't seem to change, yeah.
But Indra, in charge of the hands.
Yeah, Indra. The seven sages, in charge of the different knowledge. Yeah, some don't change. They don't seem to change. You'd have to really study scrutinizingly. Study more. Tell us who changes. Indra, Manu, demigods, some demigods.